All right. Thanks, everyone, for being on the training call today. I'm actually doing the training. Chris got held up on a little bit of company stuff that came up. So today we're going to be talking about broker do's and don'ts. I really, really like this topic because, of course, you know, I know many of you are new to the business. Being a commercial mortgage broker is still very different from being a residential mortgage broker, but a lot of this stuff's going to relate for both professions. For residential or commercial. So let's start with the do's. Okay, so what I want to let you guys know first, and again, a lot of this stuff I'm always going to be doing for you, you know, but you still need to know how the industry works. You know, one day you may want to go off and do this on your own. So this is just, you know, literally good tidbits of advice for as you, you know, grow in this industry. So bullet point number one, always set your fee with the borrower up front. As much as you possibly can. You know, a borrower is always going to say to you, you know, how much are you charging me? You know, I always tell borrowers we typically always charge at least 2 points on a deal. You know, our max is really 4 or 5 points, but I have to see the deal. I have to know what's going on. I have to see some preliminary information. I have to know if they can even afford the broker agreement, but always set your fee with the borrower up front. If they can tell you generally what they're looking to do, and you know it's a hard money loan, you know the lender's going to charge at least 2 points on any type of fix and flip or bridge loan. So, you know, you should figure out how to price that appropriately. You're going to double it. You can't really charge more than the lender on most cases. So just set your fee with the bar up front. Put the expectation out there that you are a professional services company. Obviously, what you do is some type of professional service, and they do need to pay you at closing. If it's a refinance, we talk about this a lot. It's a refinance. Obviously, you are a broker. They're going to have to pay you for your services. But as long as, you know, the LTV works on their loan, you can explain to the borrower, my fee can come out of your loan proceeds. If it's a purchase, it's not going to really happen like that because the borrower is going to max out the LTV that was assigned to them by the lender anyways. So they're going to have to come, you know, to the table with that. But just set your fee with the borrower up front. You may want to even get a broker fee agreement with them up front, and I have blank copies of that of those if anyone wants to view one, but it's just a document explaining how much we're going to make. On smaller deals that we run, I say this a lot too, just because someone has a $60,000 loan, I'm going to put the same amount of effort into a $60,000 loan that I'm going to on a $2 million deal. It's the same commercial process every single time. We can't really work off of points on a $60,000 loan. It's too small of a loan. So on our broker fee agreement, it's also titled as a consulting fee agreement. I would just put literally a straight fee. You know, I recently did a $60,000 loan and I charged the borrower $4,000 consulting fee because it was a very long process and I had to go through. It was even harder to get a $60,000 loan funded than it was a $2 million deal. It's very hard under $100,000 to get deals funded. So keep that in mind when you're talking to people as well. But point number one, set your fee with the borrower up front. Set the expectations that they're going to have to pay you. We always talk about this. Always get the borrower's tri-merge, personal financial statement, general loan submission up front. If they start talking to you about fee and what you're charging, we need to know where their loan fits in. You know, if I don't have the borrower, obviously I can understand what the borrower is looking to do if they explain it to me on the phone, and I can kind of make out what they're trying to explain even if they're not explaining it right. But without seeing that borrower's tri-merge credit report, I can't tell the borrower what we're going to charge because I can't tell them where they fit in the marketplace. You know, if they're 680, they are bankable, but depending on what they're looking to do. You know, if I don't know how much cash they have on hand either, I can't tell them where we would take it. So bank loans, really, you're probably only ever going to be able to charge 1 point, maybe 2 points. Bank alternate stated permanent loans, we can charge up to 5 points. Hard money loans probably are going to be a max of 2 to 3 points. Again, the lender's doubling those points, too. On the permanent financing side, we have lenders that don't even charge points. They just will charge par. We call it par, meaning they don't charge anything. So it's much easier to charge a borrower points because they're not incurring such large fees from the lender sometimes, just depending on the deal. So set those things. Let the borrower know you know, until you really see the trimer's credit report and their personal financial statement, you're not going to be able to tell them where they fall and how this is going to be priced with lenders and how we're going to price it. That's what we need to know. Point number three, always follow up on your leads. That's why we have a CRM. Even the silliest things. I got a flyer in the mail the other day from a residential mortgage broker, actually, to my house. They do residential mortgages. I'm sure he spent a lot of money on this high-gloss flyer that he sent out. Looks very nice and expensive. So I called him. Hey, you do residential mortgages. I got your flyer. It's kind of a warm call, of course. I do commercial. If you ever get any commercial deals, send them my way. I'll pay you a referral fee on it. So just the point is, put everyone in the CRM, follow up with your leads. I know I do follow up with your borrowers that actively have a real deal, and it's something that's going to be in the works. But, you know, if you met someone out at a networking event, they don't have a deal right now, they're just fishing around, that's fine. You know, follow up with them a month or two later. Don't crazy follow up with someone, like, don't call them every single day or every single week if they don't have a deal. But just friendly follow up with people. What I do is, hey, John, how you doing? I'm just checking in. I know last time we talked, you were just kind of searching for a property. I just wanted to see where you're at. You know, just very friendly. So point number four, educate the borrower. You know, we get a lot of borrowers that come to us that, I mean, we get all kinds of borrowers, as everyone knows. I've been on the phone with many of you, from very seasoned borrowers to brand new borrowers. If the person is brand new, you know, set the expectations with them up front. And again, I'll be doing this on the phone, but you're going to eventually start doing this as well. So just, we had a borrower last week that came to us, and he's done several fix and flips, but he's never borrowed money for it. He had no idea to the extent of the process, documents and stuff was going to happen. He didn't know what terms he was looking at. He didn't even realize he needed property insurance or title insurance. And I explained to him, well, no lender is going to close on your loan if you don't have property insurance. If something happens to the property, how are they going to get their money back? So just very brand new. He's always operated in cash. So even though he had experience, he didn't have experience borrowing money. And even the experienced people that do borrow money, those people are typically very seasoned real estate investors, are very busy. They're hunting for deals all day long. Sometimes they don't even understand the other types of financing out there, or what they can qualify for and stuff. So just always educate the borrower, explain to them the process. And we never try to steer away deals here, but that borrower I talked to last week, I did have to explain to him the full extent of what's expected of him, the process, commercial, you know, the commercial steps and how a deal is closed, because if he's not on board and he puts out money, $500 for a residential appraisal, he starts paying for things, and he does not follow through on everything I need him to do, meaning the documents I need from him or the steps I need him to take, the loan's not going to close, and he's going to be very disappointed. He could come back and badmouth 11 Capital or one of us or the loan reps here or anything. So the point is, just educate the borrower. I wouldn't say scare them, but give them some realistic expectations on what this process is going to be if they're new. And he really appreciated it. He actually sent me an email after the call and said, thank you for explaining everything to me and explaining what I'm about to go through. And he actually said something really good in the email. I hope I saved that email. He said to me, you know, now that I know what is expected of me, he said, you know, I thought that I could really just go into this myself and find my own lender and stuff. He was like, I absolutely will not do that. He's currently searching for properties now. And he was like, as soon as I find one, I'll be back. So he actually understood once I explained to him everything that's going to really kind of happen in the back end, and he's clearly not going to have time for that and does not want to go through his first commercial loan himself. So educate the borrower. Point number five, work with lenders that understand you as the broker need to make your fee. There's all different types of brokers out here in this business. There's people that are very seasoned. There's people that are not. Again, commercial, you know, being a commercial mortgage broker is a very unregulated business. There's only a handful of states nationwide that require licensing, and some of those states are even very unclear on exactly what needs to be done, just because it's a business that really has never been regulated until really around 2010, when certain laws start coming out, but it's still kind of new and they change. So, you know, the point is, you know, if you're working with a borrower for a very long time and you followed up with them, you've done everything, you know, if you deserve to make that fee, again, it's a small loan, you should make that fee. So if you rightfully earn that fee, you should be able to make it, and the lender should understand. You know, you're filing your fee agreement with the title company anyways. It doesn't really have anything to do with them. There are certain lenders that just get scared about overcharging borrowers of points because, again, our fee is included in escrow. So lenders just get a little nervous sometimes. You know, maybe they could get in trouble for overcharging a borrower point. And no one's really charging borrowers any type of crazy points these days. It's just not how the industry works anymore. But there are certain lenders we work with that will limit how much we can make. I'm doing a deal with Vizio right now. We haven't talked to them yet, but we will. They're very much like a Velocity, but they only do 1 to 4 units. They only allow brokers to make 3 points in a loan transaction. That's all they will allow. Now, I could collect a fee from the borrower out of closing, but I'm not going to do that. That rarely is ever going to get paid. So there's just certain lenders that do cap you. I've done a couple of deals with Jordan Financial Group. They're a hard money lender. We'll talk to them soon, too. They understood. They are the ones that funded my little $60,000 deal. And I explained to them, I've been working with this borrower for months. There were so many loopholes we jumped through on this deal. It's a very long backstory about what happened on the deal. But if it wasn't for me, the loan wouldn't have got funded. And I charged the borrower $4,000 consulting fee, which is just a straight consulting fee. And I said to them, you know, if you guys are going to have to be okay with this. This is I'm going to file with the title company. And they were okay. And they knew how hard I worked on the deal. They knew that this loan wouldn't have got done if I wouldn't have got involved and done everything I did. So they allowed it. But there probably would be other brokers they may say to, we're not going to allow that. You know, it's too large of a fee for what we feel you've done. Or it just depends your process of the lender. You know, if you're a lot of our business loan lenders, the way they take leads is literally we just enter a lead onto their portal and we just have a referral agreement with them. They'll pay us whatever amount of points. And they really kind of take over. I mean, we have to get them the preliminary documents so at least they can do some basic underwriting. But some business loan lenders just take over and they kind of try to cut the broker out of the process. Because in general, brokers don't really follow up with borrowers and do everything that we do here, and they kind of let things go and stuff. So there's all, just like there's all different brokers out there, there's all different lenders out there as well. Some lenders understand that this broker has worked very hard and needs to earn their fee. Other lenders don't even really like working with brokers. They think, you know, the broker's kind of the middleman and the person in the way. But the lenders we work with, there's a reason why I have every bucket we have here. And the majority of our lenders, you know, don't have any problem with the fee that we're going to charge. Of course, it just has to be within reason. We couldn't charge something. You can't charge $20,000 fee on a $100,000 loan. It has to be within certain limits, you know, because everyone here is involved in the transaction. So the point is, work with lenders that understand you as the broker need to make your fee. Also, don't be afraid to work for that fee. Number 6, find a good direct title company. We're actually going to be doing a call with Chicago Title's direct underwriting office in about 2 weeks. They're going to do a training call for us. They're going to go over, you know, what is title insurance for, how does the inner workings of it, you know, everything that is filed and to make sure our property is properly transferred. So I learned this the hard way, actually, 2 years ago. Every deal I did prior to that, I never had any type of major title issue. But a couple years ago, I was doing a deal, and I didn't realize that there are companies out there that broker title. Again, I learn new things in this business every single day as well. So there's about 6 national title companies that are direct underwriting offices. And the majority of all these other smaller title companies out there really broker title to them. So title is regulated from state to state on what can be charged. There are a couple certain states where you actually have to go to a lawyer who handles title insurance for you, which is just legally conveying the property from one person to another or one company to another, however the borrower is closing. But I got into a situation with a title company that was not a direct title company. I don't even know who they were using for their underwriting, but it wasn't one of the national 6 title companies. and the deal dragged on and on and on. And this was a rehab deal of a two unit, which should have closed very fast. And I figured out, you know, don't ever do that again. So I located a direct underwriting office just through networking with people. And again, a lot of smaller title companies, not to say they're not good, just make sure whoever they're using for their underwriting is one of the major six national title companies. So they'd be First American, Chicago, Fidelity. I can't think of the other three on my mind, but title insurance can definitely kill your deal. So you just have to make sure you're working with a title company that knows what they're doing, is going to get all the payoffs proper, can properly put a HUD-1 together, a settlement statement, which we would all just think are things they should just be able to do because they are title insurance experts. But just like every profession, there's great people in that profession and there's not so great. So that is one big piece of advice I want everyone to know. Again, I can also pass out Chicago Title. We work with a gentleman named Matt there. Everyone will love him. I'll give his information out before we have the call, and he's going to send us all some training materials so everyone can get familiar with him as well. Point number seven, get all the borrower's contact information up front on the loan. So get their property insurance contact. If there's a lawyer involved in the deal, they have a lawyer, get the lawyer's information, get the realtor's information, again, get the title company. I said property insurance already. So anybody else on the transaction, typically that's really it. Lawyer, property insurance person, title person, realtor, maybe other partners of theirs. Just get once the borrower commits and once the loan is ready to go, they're sending you documents, they're committed, you're talking to them every day or every other day. They're clearly, they want to get this loan done. They're very motivated to get it done. Get all of their information. Don't leave anything up to the borrower to do, because I'm telling you, they won't. They need a loan very, very bad, and they're pushing and pushing and pushing. But they're literally all the time I'm saying to borrowers, you know, where's your property insurance information? Who are you using for property insurance? You need to get a quote for property insurance. The lender's not going to close. One thing we can't do for the borrower, I can't call and get a quote on property insurance for them, really. I've tried before. Insurance companies really don't want to talk to you or issue any type of quote on a property if you're not going to be the borrower, the owner of that property. They kind of feel it's a waste of time. So that's not something we really get involved in. But once they've located that person, I will, of course, I'll get – every lender has certain wording as being the additional insured. I'll get that exact legal wording, pass that on to the property insurance company, make sure we're coordinating with them so they can update the policy and have the lender – the new lender as the additional insured. Title, again, we'll always coordinate with title just to check on title, make sure things are okay. If there's title issues, we will get down into it, resolve them. These are things lenders don't do anymore. So this is why it's so important to have a good broker that's willing to do this and go above and beyond. I have another deal I could share with you guys about some crazy title issues I've been working out, but we can talk about that later. Realtor, you know, get the realtor's information. There's going to need the realtor. You may have to update the purchase and sales agreement. There may be something wrong on it. We may need an extension. Don't leave it up to the lender to have to contact these people and these other parties because they won't do it. Or if they do it, they'll do it 5 days later from the day you need it done. So just always make sure you have every contact. If there's a lawyer involved, they may be involved for title insurance. Sometimes borrowers, because this is a business purchase, have their own lawyers. And you do need to coordinate with them and explain to them the lending process. Lawyers are great people, obviously very accomplished professionals, but they don't do commercial loans. A lot of times I'm explaining to the lawyer the steps and this is what's going to happen. And lawyers also get very scared with private mortgages. They don't understand financing all the time besides banks, and they get very worried about the process and is this going to close and everything. So we are the people coordinating with all these parties to make sure this deal goes through and really reaffirming them that everything is okay, getting everyone on the same page. So I'm going to keep stressing, not all brokers do this. Most brokers do not get involved as much as we do here, but that's why their deals are not closing. You can't leave anything up to the lender. You can't leave anything up to the borrower. The property insurance person, if they're not complying, you need to keep calling them. You need to keep emailing them. You are the one that has to get everyone on the same page if you want this to close as efficiently as possible and if you want it to happen. Because the lender, to be honest with you guys, lenders are so busy these days and they have limited staff. They will get to it, but they will get to it when they get to it. They don't need our one little loan we're submitting to them. Or even if we had five loans for them in a deal a month, that would be great. But, you know, real customer service from lenders comes with a massive amount of volume, and we need to get there. But we will never leave anything up to the lender to do. If there's something I can do, I will certainly do it, and that's why we close. Bullet point number eight. We kind of already talked about this. I mentioned, you know, always follow up on your leads. Bullet point number eight is just use a CRM to track your leads. I know brokers in this business still work off of paper, you know, tracking leads that way. That will never work, especially if you are a shop like us that, you know, is massively originating. We're talking to a lot of borrowers every single day. We use, as everyone knows, less annoying CRM. It's very affordable. It's $10 a month. Just do it. You should really get a professional CRM so you can track everything, because you're going to lose leads. You're going to lose things that could end up making you money in the future if you do not professionally track all this stuff. So, number nine, use social media to advertise as much as you can. I give everyone weekly marketing materials. You'll see in the weekly marketing materials there's a little snippet that you can copy and paste onto your LinkedIn, your Twitter, your Facebook, your other social media accounts, even meetup.com. You can post stuff in their groups, any other networking websites anyone's a part of. I do the short little version because it's usually the right amount of characters for that LinkedIn will accept as a post. Then I do a longer version of the program to really get down to everything about the program, just in case people work. Because I'm expecting people to respond to you and to come back and start asking you questions about the program, and the answers are, of course, right there. And if it's not something, of course, anyone knows, you can clearly ask me. But use social media as much as you can. I used, actually, when I got started in this business, of course, I always tell everyone meetup.com. But I did a lot with LinkedIn. I originated a lot with LinkedIn. What I did was I would join groups, of course, on LinkedIn that had to do with real estate investors, commercial lending, obviously geared towards commercial. But I targeted real estate investors, small business owners, just certain groups inside of LinkedIn, and joined their group and would post stuff. I even created a series of 10 training videos with Chris when I got started in this business, and I'm sure many of you have seen them. Just talking about lending and getting the answers from him, and that's really how I learned this business. I interviewed Chris. He gave me some good information, and I just ran with it and figured the rest out on my own. So just use social media as much as you can. It's really important. Again, the weekly marketing materials I give you guys, you can definitely print them out as well if you're going to events and stuff like that as well. But social media is free. So bullet point number 10. Kind of just went over this. Yes, again, use social media, but originating face-to-face is something that's really, really, really important. I'm not saying, you know, drive 2 hours to a networking event. I know some of you may be in areas where it's not very populated. Hopefully you're not. But if you are, there has to be some type of local chamber of commerce. That you want to just go out there and at least meet the other business professionals in your space or in your area where you live, because you're going to eventually start getting referrals. If it's not going to happen your first event you go to, unless, of course, you're literally just going to an event for real estate investors, which is what I tell people to do. Real estate investors, you will originate deals the first time you go out. But you want to go out and meet other business professionals in your area. Let them know what you're doing. As people start seeing you here regularly and this is what you do, they will start handing you deals. When I was 24, I broke into this business, and I would go to the MCEDC here by me, where I was networking with accountants, lawyers, that were all double my age. Not many 50-year-old professionals are going to start handing a 24-year-old who's very greedy to the industry deals. But as I started closing deals and as they kept seeing me, that's what ended up happening. I got known for the person that does commercial loans and will get them done, and I never left the borrower side. So that's what you just got to go out there and let people know what you're doing as well. So originate face-to-face if you possibly can. Number 11, don't give up on a loan if it is doable somehow. So there are a lot of brokers in this business that when deals get tough, and a lot of them do get tough, they will walk. Don't do that if there is a possibility the loan can get done. Now, some reasons the loan can't get done. The appraisal comes back and the property didn't appraise. Well, there's nothing anyone can do about that. So some things that may come up that you can handle, sometimes certain title insurance companies, we're going to kind of go back to this, just either can't get it together or they can't insure something properly the way the lender wants it. I have a deal right now where that happened. You know, it's with Vizio, and it's a nice size loan. It's a $520,000 loan. The borrower is a really nice guy, but he got involved in some type of, someone fell at one of his properties and someone sued him, and it's a whole backstory. And the title insurance company that Vizio was working with would not insure the policy. They wouldn't insure it. So everything on this loan has been a crazy loan, but I've gotten through everything. So Vizio uses a company named ServiceLink to do their title insurance. And I said to them, why can't we just use a different title insurance company? Why does it matter who title is? As long as they're insuring the policy and making sure everything's proper for you, the lender, everything else on this loan is checked out. A lot of brokers would not have done that. If title came back and said, we can't insure this policy, a lot of brokers would have just called the bar and told the bar it was dead. And the lender would have just killed the deal too. The lender would have just said, well, it didn't work out. You have to be open-minded, and you only learn how to solve these things by years in this business and experience. But that's what I got them to do. There was a title company that this bar has worked with a lot over the past year. And of course, it wasn't title done on this property, but they have done title insurance for the borrower several times this year. So they use the national, I think Fidelity is who they use for underwriting. And I got Vizio to accept, you know, to use a different title company so that, you know, we can move forward on this. So if it is possible to get the loan done, if everything, the basic stuff checks out, don't give up on the loan. It somehow can be doable. You just need to maybe get a little creative. Bullet point number 12 for the dues. Just keep learning, keep learning, keep learning in this business. This business is forever changing. That's why we do our lender calls every week. So many of our lenders now actually are coming out with these new programs. Even B2R, we were supposed to speak to yesterday, they're coming out with new bridge programs. They never, ever did bridge programs. They were always permanent financing. There's Cherrywood's coming out with bridge programs. Just keep up to what they're doing. A lot of them will change the requirements. Go to their websites. Sign up for a regular e-blast from them. If you have regular contact with a lender anyways, you'll probably be on their e-blast list. But just stay educated. There's things that I have, and don't stop asking questions. I ask lenders questions every single day. There's been deals I've brought to lenders that I just didn't think this was going to happen at all because maybe down money was a little shady. Things were not checking out to me. And they were like, oh, no, we can do this. And I just didn't know. So keep learning, keep learning, keep learning, and just always stay up on the programs and keep communication with your lenders. So those were all my dues. There's probably a million more dues I could have went over, but I think 12 was a good overview. Let's go over some of the don'ts. Number one, don't. Don't ever get paid out at closing. I mean, that's really the broker's personal preference. I will never do that, just so everyone knows, with any of our loans. I won't do that. I've never done that. When I got involved in this business, you know, I learned horror stories from brokers who worked for months for borrowers, and I don't know why they decided that to get paid out of closing, but they did and never got paid. So I just won't ever do that. You know, our fee agreement we have with the borrower, we always have a fee agreement with the borrower. I don't even care if the lender says to me, hey, I don't need a fee agreement from you. It doesn't matter. We need a fee agreement for us. I don't care what the lender needs. I need a fee agreement for us. It's going to be filed with the title company. Nobody is closing this until we are a line item on that HUD-1 or settlement statement, and I can see that we are going to get paid. So that's really part of controlling your deal, but I don't suggest anyone ever gets paid out of closing. I don't think it's a good idea. We don't do that here. Number two, don't advertise you work on the really hard deals. I see brokers advertising that all the time. You know, we work on the hard deals. I mean, who really wants to work on all the hard deals? You know, regular commercial deals become hard just for the reasons they do in this business. you know, I don't advertise that with us. I do advertise we do some unique things, and we can certainly get hard deals done. But it is nice sometimes to have a deal that's not hard. The harder a deal becomes, the longer it's going to take to close, because now all parties involved need to wrap their head around it. They need to deal with these issues. In the middle of the deal, I'm just doing a lawsuit happened. No one could have predicted that. Yeah, I don't advertise you work on the really hard deals unless you really want to. I think everyone is looking for at least a couple deals a year where it's just an easy close, hopefully. Number three for the don'ts. Don't submit sloppy docs to a lender. And we went over processing and shopping a loan last week. In general, lenders don't like handwritten documents. I understand you are going to work with borrowers, and I do too, that don't understand that we're in the 21st century and we have computers, and they're going to handwrite everything. If their handwriting is neat, you know, that's okay. You know, we can't possibly retype everything. If their handwriting is extremely sloppy, I'd nicely just tell the borrower, look, I need you to type this. You know, if they, there's certain things I can redo for them. You know, there's certain things I can't. I can certainly type up their loan application, stuff like that. I can handle the 1003 for them. A personal financial statement, though, really needs to come from them. It really does. So I just tell borrowers, please try to type on everything if you possibly can. Other documents, all other documents really are going to be, you know, income and expense documents or P&Ls are really not something that's ever handwritten. If someone ever submitted me a handwritten P&L or income and expense report, I would tell them, no, I'm not submitting that to a lender. That's not a document that should ever be handwritten. I'm sure I've gotten a handwritten one once in my lifetime here being in lending, but I just can't remember. It just depends on what the document is. But in general, you don't want the handwriting to be sloppy. All lenders really like stuff typed. And what I also mean by sloppy docs to a lender is make sure everything makes sense, some basic things. If a borrower sends you a rent roll and then they send you all the leases, go through the leases. Make sure that it matches up on the rent roll. This happens to me all the time. Borrowers send me leases, and the start date and the end date on their rent roll, according to the lease, is not the same. It's not correct. Or the rent that's being charged in that property, not correct. I'm not sure how they would get that wrong. You know, just try to make sure things match up. Other things, you know, when I say sloppy too, you know, process the documents properly. Separate the documents. Don't just send a lender attachments of 80 different documents. They're probably going to take several days to get back to you because it's going to take them a while to go through all this stuff. So just please try to make everything as nice as you can. Bullet point number four, lender borrower calls. So a lot of times what a lot of lenders will do is once, you know, you're going to properly shop the loan, you're going to send them you know, the initial documents they need to vet out the deal. The lender's going to like the deal, and it just depends on the lender's process. Some lenders want to actually jump on the call with the borrower right away. They just want to know if they're working on this file and they're going to start spending company resources, money, the borrower is committed to the loan, which is fine. If a lender ever wants to talk to a borrower, let them talk to a borrower, you know. Sometimes other lenders want basically the borrower's full package, basically all the docs to fund their loan to be submitted to them. They want the borrower also to pay for an appraisal, and then they'll do what they call a borrower kickoff call with you and the borrower. You know, I don't really get this that much, but just, you know, when you're going to get on a call with the borrower and the lender, you know, you just kind of have to feel the borrower out, but just make sure the borrower is not in any weird mood that day. They're not going to be rude to the lender in any way. If they're a very bullish person to deal with, and you already get that sense since you're dealing with them, just straight up tell them, if you are rude to the lender, I've had this happen to me once before. I had a borrower be very bullish with a lender, and the lender literally denied their loan on the phone. Sorry, not interested. That was it. Don't do that. So just make sure when you do get a lender that's interacting with a borrower, if that's what they want to do on that kickoff call, the borrower just has to understand they have to be respectful, because this is commercial lending, and lenders, there is no law saying a commercial lender has to lend to you. They will find some reason to deny your loan. I see that happen a lot. I used to see that happen a lot with certain hard money borrowers. For some reason, that would be very bullish. But just always, you know, give everyone a heads up about that. Number five for don'ts. So really the way this should be worded here. Don't push loan documents at a lender, and that's kind of a little bit about the sloppy documents. Make sure, again, everything, you know, make sure, again, everything is very clear. If the lender comes back and says this isn't a file for us, don't keep trying to push the loan through with that lender. If it's a no, it's a no. You know, make sure if it is a deal for them, if it is a deal for the lender, that you are copied on all emails if the lender does want to correspond with the borrower. Most lenders just, you know, don't want to correspond with borrowers. That's what they use brokers for. They want the broker to do all the heavy lifting, and they will, of course, close the deal. But what number five really should say here is what I have written here is don't push the loan on lenders and other contacts. So meaning, you know, title insurance, lawyers, lenders, realtors, anyone else involved in the transaction. It's your job to close the loan. So you're the one that has to get everyone on the same page, you know. That also kind of has to do with sloppy documents. If you keep pushing stuff at people and just putting it off as, oh, it's their job, they'll take care of it, it's not going to happen. You have to take care of everything on this loan and get it done. So always know exactly what's going on with your loan. I don't ever recommend really handing a borrow off to a lender. We don't do that here because lenders get very, very busy, and they get very busy. And the lender's not going to push the loan ahead. They have a lot of files they're working on. That is what brokers do. We push the loan ahead, and we get the deal funded. So just don't try to push the loan off on anyone else is the point. You're the one that has to do everything. Bullet point number six. This is very obvious. It just do not ever be rude to a lender. I see that a lot in this industry, actually. Brokers will actually, you know, get very angry if something doesn't work out in the deal and they don't understand exactly why the deal didn't work. So I feel that's maybe why they get angry. I just had a meeting with a couple of our lenders last week. We just got together, and the one gentleman was telling me that a lot of brokers will curse at him a lot, you know, using all kinds of foul language and stuff. And I was like, are you serious? You know, don't ever be rude to a lender. There are certain reasons why things happen in this industry. You got to understand the lenders are the ones that are servicing these loans. They're the ones dealing with these borrowers' payments, their monthly payments, and collecting them from them. So if the lender feels weird about the deal, just respect that. It's not for them. That's okay. There's 100 other lenders out there. But you'll get brokers a lot that will, if the lender doesn't want to do the deal, they'll immediately flip on the lender and start being rude to them. And it's just the lender was honest with you. They didn't want to do the deal. So don't do that. Bullet point number seven, pretty obvious as well. Don't ever be rude to the borrower as well, which none of us would ever do. Sometimes borrowers don't even understand what they're doing that may annoy you in this business. So sometimes you have to hold yourself to a higher professional standard. Eventually, yes, you're going to get tired of borrowers asking, what's my rate? They're going to do that. Just, again, take a step back, you know, educate them on how the process works, you know, how rates and terms and stuff are determined. You can certainly help them if they submit these documents. But we don't really ever get borrowers that are rude. I have definitely dealt with borrowers in the past that are very, very rude, and just a natural reaction is to be rude back, especially when you're trying to help someone and it's not like they're paying us up front as an hourly employee or anything to consult them. Just don't. I've just professionally removed myself from the phone calls, and or what I'll just say, if the borrower is being very bullheaded and bullish and won't listen to things, I'm trying to help them, I'll just say, sir, ma'am, I'm sorry, we can't help you. Have a good day. That's it. If the borrower can't give you basic information that you need, you'll never get to a close with them. You know, you'll never get there. So don't even try. Last bullet point, and we kind of went over this as well, but this is really just a step off of what we just talked about with, you know, just the rudeness. Don't let your emotions get the best of you in this business. This is a high-pressure, very fast-paced business. We are independent contractors. We are dealing with other independent contractors, you know, meaning we're dealing with other lawyers, accountants, realtors, title people. a lot of other people that all work on commission. So just understand, you know, when people work on commission, of course, you know, they're in a situation where if that deal doesn't close, they don't get paid. And of course, everyone needs money for their family. So tempers will flare. People will burst out. Things happen. So just understand, even if someone maybe does lash out somehow in a transaction or gets frustrated, doesn't mean the deal's dead. It does. Everyone just needs to take a step back, reevaluate the situation, and let's you know, think about how we're going to move forward from this. So another thing I just want to say is, you know, if you ever contact someone and they're in a bad mood, maybe another professional or something, don't let it rub off on you. A lot of the times on a lot of these transactions, I'm everyone's therapist. So I just did a deal recently with my borrower, but a realtor was selling him the property. It was actually the realtor's property. And the realtor was, it was a long story, but the realtor, the person who sold the property to the realtor, because he was acting as a wholesaler, was having serious title issues. So on this deal, the seller was having title issues. It wasn't my borrower. It was the seller. The borrower obviously didn't own it yet. But he was all up in arms, like, this deal is going to blow. It's not going to work. He was very upset. And, of course, he's not going to get his wholesale commission unless I get the funding through and this deal goes through. And I just told him, I was like, Vic, everything is fine. We're going to work it out. The title issues are being worked out. I was working with his title insurance company he wanted me to work with, too. But I had to call the title insurance company and talk to them and see what were the real title issues on the property, because they weren't explaining it anyone to properly through email. So we're not title professionals. We can't solve them, but we can try to come up with good ideas to solve them. So once I figured out what was actually going on with the title issues, I could call Vic and explain to him really what was going on. My borrower was very nervous. He wanted to almost back out of the deal because he was worried for some reason that he was going to buy a property that had title issues. And I was explaining to him, I just said, you know, David, the point of title insurance is to make sure that when the property is legally passed from the seller to you, you are not going to be dealing with any encumbrances or anything. It's to make sure there's free and clear title so you don't inherit any old mortgage that was on this property, that a lien never got released. That's the point of title insurance. So you can't even inherit a property, you know, in the wrong way without free and clear title. The lender's not going to allow that. The title insurance company isn't going to either, because that's their job. So you just have to get everyone on the same page, tell everyone everything is going to be okay. And again, just don't let anyone's emotions get the best of you in this business. So at that point, guys, that's really my do's and don'ts. I can't really think of any more don'ts right now. But yeah, let's open up for questions and see if anyone has any questions.
Okay.
All right. Can everyone hear me?
Okay.
Yes.
Guys, does anyone have any questions at all about the training that we did today?
I have a question. The question that I have is, do we send you...
Roberto, can you hear me?
It seems like there's an echo.
It's unmuted. Okay. Everyone is unmuted. I hope everyone can hear me. But
yes.
Just going to ask real quick, does anyone have any quick questions about what we went over today?
Megan, do we send you this?
Hey, guys. Anyone does have any questions, honestly, please feel free to email me. Everyone should have my email. It's mkraag at 11capitalfinance.com. I just want to go over to some basic generic do's and don'ts, just, you know, so everyone understands when you get into this industry, you know, there will be certain things that you just don't know. You know, when you first get involved, you're green. But as you start growing in this industry, you're going to find these out the hard way, but I just went over these things that I learned the hard way so that, of course, you guys don't have to do that. So, again, everyone, thank you for being on the training. If anyone has any questions or wants to run anything by me, please shoot me an email.
Megan?
Everyone have a great weekend.
Megan, can you hear us?
Megan, can you hear me?